You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll talk to the great analyst for the mothership, Mark Jackson. He will join us coming up. 76ers Hawks game four tonight. Jazz Clippers game four. As many times as we've seen Kawhi and Paul George in the playoffs, you'd think that we could figure them out. But the Clippers still remain one of the more baffling teams in the NBA. Last year, they blew a 3-1 series lead over the Nuggets in the bubble. This year, they seem to be more comfortable playing from behind. They were down 0-2 to the Mavs. They lost those two games at home, came back to win in seven. Second round, they dropped the first two games against Utah before blowing out the Jazz in game three. Kawhi and playoff Paul were both at the top of their games, and they looked like they were the higher-seeded team, not the Jazz. George seems to be putting his playoff struggles behind him, at least for now, but it's hard to trust that Los Angeles won't take a step back in their next game. Good luck trying to figure this team out, because I have no idea what Clipper team is going to show up in this next game. Poll question, McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, so hour two was who's coming out of the East, and Milwaukee kind of ran away with it. Here's a poll question I hesitate to bring up, because you're going to think I'm anti-Jokic. But
you are.
I am, but that's besides the point. Does the fact that he lost this series in four games water down his MVP award?
No. It will now immediately, that reaction. But they weren't a great team. They bordered on being a good team. He's probably not going to win another MVP. He probably isn't. It's like Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk won his one, and then they bowed out in the first round of the playoffs. Did it take away from him winning the MVP? Yeah. In the moment, yeah. If you were voting for MVP today, Chris Paul probably wins it. But that's not the way the award works. You have a postseason MVP and you have a regular season MVP. Chris Paul was brilliant, and he did it from mid-range jumpers. It's not a lost art. You know? Here's Chris Paul on his mid-range game.
Over these last couple of games, offensively, you took it up to another notch, and particularly with that mid-range game. How important is the mid-range game still in the game of basketball?
It's important to me. You know, some years ago, when I played with the Clippers, the whole league went to this drop defense. You know what I mean? And I was like, if that's what y'all going to give up, I'm going to try to perfect it.
I love it. I mean, there is an area there. It's either the rim or it's a three-point shot. And he and Kevin Durant shoot mid-range jumpers there. And if you know they're going to allow, they're going to allow you to take that. I mean, they're going to contest, but if they say, oh, you're going to shoot a two in today's NBA, yeah, fine with that, because we're going to be shooting threes. His teammate, Devin Booker, owns a very, very valuable jersey. After the Suns eliminated the Lakers from the postseason, Devin Booker got LeBron James's jersey. LeBron signed it to him. And that might be the last game worn number 23 that LeBron ever wears, when you think about it, because he's switching to number 6. I don't know the value of that, but the value of sports memorabilia has been crazy as of late. A lot of it has to do with trading cards, but LeBron is going to switch to number 6, and number 23 looks like it's going to be retired, but he gave that to Devin Booker, and I can only imagine. Like, if I'm LeBron, do I go, you know, on second thought, I promised it to one of my sons, and, you know, I feel bad. He's crying. I need to have that. That jersey is going to be worth $500,000. It'll be worth more 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road. You know, we're seeing a lot of this Jordan memorabilia coming back now. Now, the documentary helped that, but I'm guessing that is going to be a very, very expensive jersey. Also, Novak Djokovic gave his racket to a young fan, and they've already had estimates of $25,000 to $30,000 for that racket that he used to win the French Open. The value might be as much as $50,000. It could go up to $100,000 if he wins Wimbledon U.S. Open and completes the Grand Slam. You would have the racket from a Grand Slam. But just some of the estimates. I mean, look at Tom Brady, game-worn 2021 Super Bowl jersey. That could fetch more than $1 million. These are rough estimates here, but maybe that's why that little kid was so excited when he's going, this is worth $50,000. There's college tuition. Yes, McLovin.
It's good to see Devin Booker catch a break financially with his $160 million contract and his $1 billion girlfriend.
Yeah, no.
Give us the give for LeBron. You got to give that to somebody who doesn't need it.
Wait, is Booker going out with the one who's not worth a billion?
No, you're right.
He goes out with Kendall.
You're the expert on these topics.
Kylie's worth a billion. Kendall's not.
What about Kenosha? Is Kenosha?
There's no Kenosha. Oh. No. And Chloe is doing well. That's all I care about.
Is Chris Paul still going to make a $100 million contract after this year? Is this like, I know he's like 36, 37.
I don't think so. The estimates I saw were that it would be a three-year deal for around $60 million. But he's turning down, I think, a $42 or $44 million extension with Phoenix. But I don't know. Like, this is a move that the Knicks make. And it's not the right move to make for the Knicks. But if you want to overpay for Chris Paul, you could have had Chris Paul. And what he's doing at age 37, you know, he's not a guy who is known for jumping, even quickness. He's just smart. He has an ability to kind of pick his spots. And he doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, McLovin.
Isn't Phoenix the perfect spot for him? Like, for him to leave to a Knicks team, this seems like an unbelievable chemistry with all those guys.
Yeah, so I would think so with that young team. And this is what they needed. And to be able, doesn't have to be the star. Doesn't have to be the second best player. He has to be the smartest player. But Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, they got some role players there. His job is sort of, what do you need? It's almost game to game. Do you need me to score? I'll put up 37. You need me to pass? I'll do 17 and 15. That's a pretty good luxury that you have right there. You go to New York and they expect more out of you. And at that age, he's not going to be able to deliver what New York would expect. He plays 31 minutes a game. Now, he did play every game. And I love that because he's had injury issues. But he hasn't had that ultimate success. But he's still going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, McLovin.
There was a report that the Sixers wanted to trade for him. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
But he said he was not interested in them. But I feel like he'd be a great piece for this, obviously, for the Sixers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or any young team, like, really is one piece away. He's there. Yeah.
Well, we're looking at guys like Kyle Lowry that they're in that 35, 36 years of age, but they have that experience. And, you know, the Lakers were trying to trade for Kyle Lowry. Going to send Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder is going to cost himself a whole lot of money. I mean, he's probably going to get a deal. Maybe he's probably going to lose his performance or lack thereof in the postseason is probably going to cost him $25 million. Because the Lakers offered him a deal for $80 million. He might be lucky to get 50 or 60 million here. Yeah, Paul.
You know, the guy who is really in a jam is Kyle Kuzma with the Lakers because he signed a contract extension, I think, in October or November, 3 years, $40 million, which is very team-friendly for an up-and-coming young player.
Yeah.
And I remember we did the show at the time. We said, I think he really loves being a Laker and being in Los Angeles, but that makes him really tradable. He's got 2 years left on a pretty cheap contract.
Yeah, I don't know if his growth is stunted because LeBron and AD there, but it felt like when the younger players were the Lakers, then Kuzma felt more comfortable. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, do you want to be great? And I don't know that. Like, you just, if you just enjoy being a Laker, then okay. But you want to be great. Do you want to be great? And I don't know in that system that we're going to know that he can be great. And I don't know if he can be, but he's shown glimpses. Remember when the Lakers ran an out-of-bounds play for Kyle Kuzma? Was that during the it was in the bubble. And I went, oh, okay. And then I think they ran it again in the playoffs. But it was like, I think it was one of those, they critique LeBron for, of course, not taking the shot. But they ran a play for Kyle Kuzma. And I thought, all right, that's interesting. I mean, go back to Robert Horry when he was on the show. He said that when he left the Rockets, no team ever ran a play for him in his entire career. But the Rockets did with Rudy Tomjanovich. Oh, did you guys see this story where Le'Veon Bell is upset with Andy Reid? And, you know, he spent some time with the Kansas City Chiefs, but his playing time got greatly diminished with when he was there with the Kansas City Chiefs. But Le'Veon Bell had a series of tweets yesterday. He now says he wishes that he hadn't aired his complaints against Andy Reid on social media. But I guess Andy Reid must have promised him a little more playing time. But this is what I don't understand. Aside from just spilling my tea all over the desk there. Hey, Tyler, could you come in here? We got a spill in aisle 6 here. This is not good. And that's a good thing it's not beer or vodka. Thank you, Steve. Yes. That's what could go wrong where I've got a spill. Good thing I just filled this this coffee mug up.
Is it hot?
No, not too bad.
How'd you get it over here, by the way?
I don't know what I did. I blame this on Le'Veon Bell, because if Le'Veon Bell doesn't say this, then I don't gesture with my hands. Here, Seton, you can throw it over here.
He's a very patient runner.
I don't know if I could get electrocuted here, but you know what my motto is? As long as it's on the air, it's good content. And so
using a lot of paper towel.
Yeah,
there. We can.
There was a lot of tea. I had a full mug of tea.
Do you have the top closed? Obviously not.
No. Who puts a top on? No, I have a coffee mug. I have a Dan Patrick Show coffee mug.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Maybe this is an excuse to clean up your desk a little bit.
Okay. Wow.
Take some of these things off.
Wow. Okay.
Or rearrange.
All right. I know. There's a whole lot here. Thank you, Seton. You've done a great job today on just doing this. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, thank you, Seton. Got the Packers helmet there. All right. Dang. All right. Yeah, this is...
He's like 22 pieces of
I know.
Paper towel.
I got... There's some of my sheets of paper here with... I was...
Did I mess up our paper towel budget for the month?
Yes,
or?
I got to pay for everything
around
here.
We're going to be okay. We're going to survive as a company?
We're going to have to recycle.
Okay,
you know? That
good.
Paper towel, just let it dry out, and then we'll use it again.
Meet Friday.
Le'Veon Bell said that it's... let me see what he's saying. It doesn't matter anymore. I just spilled bleep all over the desk here.
Did you get on yourself?
I don't know. It doesn't
just
matter.
Say the calls and punch out, bud. We'll start again next
month. Yeah, let's just regroup here. Damn it. What, Todd?
So was that the splat of the day? Or, you know, or too soon? Way too soon for that. You're still covered in liquid there. It's too soon.
It was no splat. It was a spill.
Just kind of spill. Spill of the day. But spill doesn't rhyme with stat. Still got the S in there, though.
I'm proud of you for getting the rhyming scheme right, though. That's a major step.
I'm getting there.
That's a major step.
We're making progress.
You're closer to me than Seton is, but I didn't see you get up.
I didn't. I saw he grabbed the paper towels and zipped around like he was in the Olympics there, like he was handing it off to the next runner.
Oh, my God. I got it all over the place here. All right, let me take a break here.
I think checking my records, that's the first time that's ever happened.
I've come close, but you're right. I think that was it. And the coffee mug that I have is dark. And I didn't see it. And then I gestured and...
So it's the mug's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a frizzy move.
Okay. That is. I don't know who made this mug, but they made it way too dark because I didn't see it.
It's a bitter spill to swallow, but we'll get past it. We still got another 45 minutes.
You know, usually I wait to call on you. Why don't you wait till I call on you? Paulie, would you pour hot tea on Fritzy's lap?
No sweat.
All right.
Wheel of punishment.
Yeah. How about that?
Hot tea.
On my shorts.
Yeah, you're going to make fun? That's a mug shot.
I'm just trying to loosen it up because I don't want you to get all uptight about it.
Todd, I just gave you a mugshot.
Mugshot.
Like a mug.
All right, I'll give
you
that.
I spilled the mug and you took a shot at my mug. It's a mugshot.
A mugshot.
Yeah. All right. Take a break. 16 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, LifeLock. LifeLock can help you with a lot of things. They can't help me with this spill right here, but cybercrime, you have to understand how the cyber criminals are working and identity theft and how it affects our lives every day. There's so much information we put out there on the internet. And in an instant, somebody's going to grab what's yours. It could be your social security number. They could get your credit card numbers. They could dive into your finances. That's why it's great that there's LifeLock helping detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code Patrick. You can call them 1-800-LIFELOCK. Or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick for up to 25% off. LifeLock.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. U.S. Open, and that will be at Torrey Pines. That starts this Father's Day weekend. U.S. Open begins Thursday on NBC Golf Channel and streaming on Peacock. Mark Jackson set to join us, the lead NBA analyst for the Mothership and ABC, continuing to call the biggest playoff games throughout the NBA Finals, including the Western Conference Finals. Is Mark set to join us, Todd?
He should be calling in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Here is Steve Nash after the injury yesterday to Kyrie and how it affected his team.
I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with Kai in the coming days. We'll cross our fingers and hope that it's better than missing the next game. You know, it is tricky with Kev. We all got to pitch in. We all got to play together. We got to move the ball. And I thought tonight we got a little single-minded looking for Kevin every time. Puts a little bit too much pressure on him. It makes us a little more predictable, I thought, which puts a lot of burden on him. So we got plenty of guys who have stepped up in absences this year and done very well. And I think we got to rely on each other to play a team game, move the ball. And of course, we're looking for Kevin as much as we can, but within reason, without confining ourselves and being predictable.
It feels like he says this after every injury this year. Whoever goes out, they just, we got to pick it up. We got to play better. You know, they can't rely on Kevin Durant for everything. There were a couple of moments where Blake Griffin, it felt like he was waiting to just pass it to Kevin Durant. Also, did we get an update on Blake Griffin? I don't know what his injury status is.
No, but there's actually nothing on injury, but he was doing an okay job on Giannis. Then he just left the game suddenly in the third quarter. He got 25 minutes in yesterday, but maybe they just, you know, Nash pulled his starters with like 6 minutes left in the game too, I noticed. He kind of gave up.
Yeah. Mark Jackson was on the call yesterday, game 4 of the Nets and the Bucks in Milwaukee. And the great Mark Jackson joins us on the program. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time.
How would you sum up the Bucks-Nets yesterday, game 4?
I think the Bucks ultimately, you know, was committed to being a lot more physical, getting into the bodies of not just Kevin Durant, but the Nets in general. They had tremendous success doing it, took them out of rhythm, and they were in attack mode offensively. Giannis wasn't messing around, and he was more of a playmaker, mixing it up, getting guys involved and attacking the rim. And it allowed other guys to get going, and it allowed him to get going. So it was a perfect day for the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday.
What should the game plan be for Giannis and his approach? And certainly he's a different player, it feels like, in the playoffs than he is the regular season. But how would you have him attack the Nets?
Well, Jeff Van Gundy and I agree, but we disagree. He thinks he should shoot 0 3-pointers, or he should shoot 100. It should be because he can get that shot anytime. And I understand that mentality. But my feeling is I don't have a problem with him shooting, you know, 2 or 3 3-pointers in the rhythm of the game. So he's attacking the rim. He gets a dunk. He gets a layup. He gets an and-one. And all of a sudden, the next time down the floor, he thinks he's got it going. And he feels comfortable and confident. and he steps into a rhythm three, I'm fine with that. I think he's got to ultimately not take a bunch of them unless he's knocking them down, because you're doing the Nets a favor. You're playing into their hands. So he's got to be in attack mode with the mentality of not settling on the offensive end, especially early, setting the tone. And then he's got to be a willing passer, take the double team, and hit guys in rhythm on point, where those guys got to be confident and knock down shots also. So it's got to be a mixture of both in my mindset.
What is it with some of these players at the free throw line? And Giannis is there, and he's like paralysis by analysis. And then you've got Ben Simmons as well. And are these all fixable, coachable things?
To me, they are. And it's minimizing the movement. Is minimizing the amount of time. I mean, you stand at the free throw line, you know, over 10 seconds, and you're sitting there for what? You know, I had a routine, but I didn't do a routine when I practiced, and I just, to be quite honest, I just did it just so that I could be remembered one day by the guy that held his hand up at the free throw line. So I don't think it would be harming him. Well, I know it wouldn't be harming him if he cut the routine short and stepped up to the free throw line and maybe 5 seconds took a shot. He couldn't be any worse. So I think it is paralysis by analysis. They're overthinking it, and they can be much better free throw shooters if they obviously they put the time in, but you get a shooting coach with them and you develop routines and habits, and they will become better. I don't know if they'll ever be 90 or 95, but they certainly would be better.
But it's hard to be the guy at the end of a game if I can't have you handle the ball because I don't want to put you on the free throw line, or I can't have you go to the free throw line. And, you know, with Ben Simmons and you know, with the Greek Freak, these are marquee players.
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree because I played with a guy like let's say Dale Davis, a tremendous power forward that I played with that was a historically bad free throw shooter. But as a team, we didn't care whether he got fouled down the stretch, because one thing we knew, he wasn't afraid to shoot the free throw. He was going to step up, and if he made a miss, it wasn't going to be because he was afraid.
Yeah.
So you don't want guys that's going to be afraid of the moment. Like Ben Simmons, I don't see Ben or Giannis afraid to shoot the free throws. So you develop the right habits, and then you make sure as a coach, I put them in position that where, okay, we're in the bonus. I'm not putting the ball in Ben Simmons' hands, understanding, you know, that they're going to foul him and send him to the free throw line. Unless he's got a rhythm and we got a comfortable lead, then okay, you want to play that game? We can play it. But I'll develop some things to keep my best players on the floor.
If you're Steve Nash and I said you could have your choice, you could either have Harden back with Durant or Kyrie back, who would you take?
I want them both.
No, you can't
right
have
now,
both.
Well, the game's tomorrow. I want James Harden because I don't think that Kyrie Irving physically would be able to play tomorrow. But I think it
Let's
makes
say
it
they're
easier
both healthy.
With just –
Let's say they're both healthy.
Oh, here you go. When I said I was going to do the interview, I said, this guy's going to ask me a question and force me to answer something. I don't know what it is, but
I'm like Scottie Pippen guarding you, okay?
Yeah. No, you're worse. And that's saying a lot.
Wow. Scott, do you still see Scottie Pippen in your nightmares?
I see him all day long. What are you talking about? My nightmares. When I'm awake, I see him. I look back sometimes and just swat his hands off of me.
Was he the best defender?
He was an incredible defender. I think when you look at a guy like Gary Payton, when you look at Michael Jordan, when you look at Hakeem Olajuwon, I mean, those guys were elite, all-time great defenders. Alvin Robinson was a great defender.
Would you rather have Jordan guard you or Pippen?
I would rather have Jordan guard me if you said he had to guard me the whole game. And it's not a knock on his defensive, you know, mentality and how great he is defensively. Scottie Pippen could, you know, dog me the full length of the court and dog me for whatever amount of time I was on the court because he didn't have any pressure on him to carry the load offensively. If you ask Michael to do it, just like Phil asked Kobe to do it in the finals in 2000. Kobe was great at it, but he wasn't Scottie Pippen because he was trying to, you know, get 40 on the other end. So it's a different mentality and it's a different commitment when you know this is what I have to do to win this game.
He's Mark Jackson, ESPN, NBC, or NBA analyst on ABC. Are you third in all-time assists?
Right now I'm fourth. Steve Nash is one ahead of me.
Oh.
But and you say, oh, I say, oh, wow. You know, I when you look at the list of guys that surround me, I pinch myself. That's when I get, you know, like, it really is unbelievable. I've got no business on that list.
Do you think that Nash wanted to get one more than you and then retire?
No, I don't think it. Okay. I don't think it at all.
Okay.
I know it.
I got Chris Paul at 50 assists behind you. I think he's going to catch you. That?
Oh, way to go out on a limb.
But LeBron is 300 behind you. I think he's going to catch you.
Wow, you are really feeling yourself today with the predictions. You like Charles Barkley with the guarantee.
Paulie, is there anybody else who can catch Mark Jackson here before he gets kicked out of the top 10?
I didn't want to pile on, but Russell Westbrook is about a year away, year and a half.
Oh, man.
I mean, but think about the name. Everybody that surrounds me, they're Hall of Famers or first ballot Hall of Famers. Are they already in? So it's absolutely remarkable. Like I said, I'm honored to be in that position and to be discussed with those guys.
Are you a Hall of Famer?
I'm not in the Hall of Fame.
But do you think you should be in the Hall of Fame?
That's not up for me to discuss.
No, it's you. Do you think, like if you ask me, do you think you're better than Bob Costas? I can't go, well, that's up for others. You just ask me.
Well, what's your answer?
You answer mine, then I'll answer.
Well, I finished my career second all time in assists. I humbly submit.
Okay.
And to think about all the great players that have played in the history of this game, to be second all time in a main category says a lot.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible feat for me. And I'm fine with where I am in history, and I'm at peace with it.
All right.
Did that answer your question? Now, what about you and Bob Costas?
Bob is better at certain things.
Oh, my goodness. I don't need all of that.
Do I think I'm better than Bob? I'm different than Bob. It'd be like me comparing you to Steph Curry. You both play point guard, but you do it differently.
Hold on. Let me give you your address. I'm gonna send you a free dog with a leash. I mean, you scared? Come on, man.
No, I'm not. I own a dog. I got a puppy, Mark. I bought a dog. I did. I got a rescue.
Who would you take anybody's answer? Well, he's better than me in certain things. In certain areas, I'm stronger than him. No, you wouldn't.
I
That's not the Dan Patrick I know and love. I'm not listening to interviews. So what? I got your back.
I'm trying humility. It's something new for me, okay?
That's true.
Okay.
Because when we would go out, you'd be like, yeah, Bob, I can't hold my jockstrap. No way in the world. I'm better than him. No question.
I know. That is true.
I don't mean to tell your business, but you, know,
you just did. And you said you should be coaching the Knicks, that you're far better than Fibs.
Don't do that.
Oh, now I can't talk out of school.
No,
okay.
With me saying that, they'd be like, oh, that's Mark throwing a bad, you know, good joke at Dan. With you saying it, it'll run be headlines.
What do you expect to happen with the Jazz and the Clippers? Because I have no idea how to handicap the Clippers right now.
It is tough to handicap the Clippers, and that's the worst thing you want to have as a coach or a player on a team. Who can I trust? Who can I go to? Who's going to show up? How are we going to play? It's unpredictable. They can very well win a championship, and they could very well lose in this round. It's unfortunate, but this is a team, I will say this, they don't lay down. I mean, they got down the previous series. They bounced back against Dallas. They're down against Utah, bounced back with a big win, and another win, you know, in the next game really changes things. But the Jazz, it's an outstanding team. I say they're the second team, you know, obviously the Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and their ability to shoot. So many teams are shooting threes, but there's only two teams in my mindset that have the ability to have shooters on the floor, and they're great shots every time. The Utah Jazz are loaded with, you know, four, five, six shooters on the court, and the Warriors obviously have two of the best, if not the best, to ever do it.
Chris Paul and Kevin Durant, certainly Chris Paul bringing back the mid-range jumper, Mark. Do you think the mid-range jumper will make a comeback?
I don't think it should have went anywhere in the first place. I understand the analytics and what it says about the three-point shot, but give me a basket. Give me Chris Paul shooting a mid-range jump shot as opposed to, you know, Mark Jackson shooting a three-pointer. He's going to make those at a high clip, and he's going to punish the defense, and they're going to have to make the proper adjustments.
Yeah, I like it. If they're going to give it to you, then take it. You know, KD takes that mid-range jumper, and it's either somebody taking it to the hoop or somebody shooting a three, and I like that logic.
And even the guys not named Chris Paul or Kevin Durant, if the teams are going to back up off of you, like Giannis, if the teams are going to back up off you in a day to shoot a three, okay, establish a rhythm. Step 2 feet in, take a mid-range jump shot. It's an easier shot, and it allows you to gain a rhythm. So it's no coincidence why, you know, those two guys and these teams that embrace, you know, shooting mid-range, like the Phoenix Suns have a legitimate chance of winning it all. Because partly of Chris Paul's mid-range game.
Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach, said that Chris Paul, arguably the best point guard of all time. And I don't know if Michael has done a lot of research here on great point guards in the game, but seems like a recency bias there, Mark, that you just lost to Chris Paul and the Suns. Magic was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's I laugh, but I don't laugh at the greatness of Chris Paul. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's had an incredible career, and he's certainly amongst the list of the top point guards that ever played this game. But he's not.
But
the
he hasn't
greatest
won.
Point guard.
He hasn't won. Like,
yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it because we don't say that when we throw John Stockton's name in there. He's certainly an all time great point guard. And he's on the list also, but we don't hold that against him, and we shouldn't.
Well, he went to two finals. He lost against Jordan.
So see how we tape the argument? He didn't win. He didn't win a championship.
He didn't.
That's the argument. That's the argument. Chris Paul winning a championship will not make him the greatest point guard to ever play the game in
no,
my mind.
No,
and
it won't.
Again, we're talking about great, great talent and great, great, historically great players. Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard that's ever played this game.
All right, and second on that list is who?
In my mind, it's Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
And the guy, think about what he did. He was, and I faced him, so that's part of the reason I can say it. I watched everybody, and I faced him, and he was absolutely, absolutely great, great, great.
Yeah, but you made him successful by guarding him.
We don't need to go there, though. The question wasn't how did he get.
Oh, okay, my bad. Is Steph Curry a point guard?
Yes, he is, and he's on the list. He's in the discussion. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's an absolute, you know, franchise superstar talent.
He doesn't lead his team in assist.
He is a point guard. I coached him, and I put next to point guard Steph Curry.
Okay. So you got Magic and Isaiah. Is Steph Curry the third greatest point guard of all time?
He's in the discussion. Then you got a list of guys that completely fit in the discussion where you can play some 3 through 10.
All right. Who's third?
I don't know who's third. I haven't looked through the list yet, but you got guys.
You play
like
the position.
Stockton,
you know who's.
You have guys like Stockton, Kidd, Nash, Curry. Am I forgetting anybody?
Russell Westbrook,
forgive me, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to throw those guys in the discussion, and then it's which flavor do you like? They're all in the same area, and they're all historically great talents.
Now, who else are you putting in there? Charlie Ward, Muggsy Bogues, anybody else that you're putting in there, Mark?
No, see,
I'm
fair, but I'm firm.
No,
I'm fair, but I'm firm.
Come on.
You have the disease of greed. I gave you the top two without wavering. Now you want to go through the list of top 10.
I'm just curious.
Why can't we just enjoy?
How about top five? Is that asking a whole lot?
No. I gave you my answer. When you talk about the first two,
all right.
I got a clear-cut answer.
You're soft, man.
I know who's not in there. Dan Patrick is not in there, top 10 point guard of all time.
No, I'm a shooting
guard.
I
saw your game.
I'm a making.
You're talking about free throws because you're a knockdown free throw shooter. We're well aware of that.
Yeah, yeah. Should I be able to shoot better from the line than the Greek Freak or Ben Simmons?
Yes, because you had a full court hoop in your backyard since you've been 1 year old. You lived in the suburbs. You've been, you know, you had the good life.
All right, you're right about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to talk to you again, and I'll talk to you in a couple of years. Okay.
No, don't do that. Great talking to you, man. Stay
well.
Thanks,
buddy. That's Mark Jackson. Third on the all-time or fourth on the all-time assist list? You know, Mark's a Hall of Famer. He won't say it, but he was second all-time in assists when he retired. Yeah. Now, he didn't average double figures. But if we're going to argue Robert Horry with what he did and winning those championships, I mean, Mark's second all-time to John Stockton. No shame there. Yeah, Paul.
I'm just presenting facts here because I like Mark
That's
Jackson.
That's what we do.
Mark Jackson played on a lot of teams. He did like four or five years and 2 years. Mm. He made one all-star game in his career, which really hurts. He lacked consistently for one team. Continuity, I guess.
Yeah.
He'd do 5 years for the Knicks, then 2 years for the Clippers, and 5 years for Indiana. He had a really good run in Indiana. Yeah. Really relevant run.
Yeah, I know. All right, let me take a break here. Last call for phone calls. Reggie Miller will join us on the program, Mark's old teammate. He'll join us tomorrow. Take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Final results of the poll question. Let me get some phone calls. Jesse in L.A. has been holding a while. Jess, thanks for holding on. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, always for you guys. Calling to get my best and worst of the weekend. Best Alabama football now as a DB. His official name is Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is pretty legendary. And that made me watch the Key and Peele football skit, name skit, and appreciate how great it was. But my worst, Dan, and the Danettes, I learned a lot on your show, not just about sports, but about life and music and so much else. And on Friday, I learned during the last 15 minutes of the show that according to Tanya, Argentina, which I've been to a handful of times, and the GOAT Leo Messi were annexed recently and are now part of the European soccer tournament. That moment of realization on her part was tremendous radio, but it did make me ask myself, and sorry to bring it up, I'm sorry about you guys losing the Emmy, but are we as the audience, are we the reason you guys keep losing?
No, but thank you. Thank you, Jesse. Great appearance. No, I take the blame. I take sole ownership of us not winning because the Danettes are doing the best that they can. They're solid at improving. Now it's up to me. So if we don't win, it's on me. I mean, that's what leaders do. Tampa Bay doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's on Tom Brady. Kansas City Chiefs don't win a Super Bowl, it's on Patrick Mahomes. We don't win a sports Emmy, it's on me. I take full blame. Yes.
Well, I did blame the offensive line. Yeah. So I don't really know that Patrick Mahomes got the blame. It was more, what's he supposed to do with that line?
Okay. Yeah, Seed. Or Paulie.
I did confirm. I had this for tomorrow's look in. Alabama does have a young defensive back named Kool-Aid McKinstry. And unfortunately, the bad news is that Kool-Aid is not his given name.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
I was so hoping that it wasn't a nickname because he'd be my favorite athlete of all time.
My name's Charles, but you can call me Kool-Aid.
Susio. I hope I got that right. Joining us from Missouri. Susio.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, welcome. Best and worst of the weekend.
5'6" 140.5
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Best weekend, the Westminster Dog Show. It was awesome. It was great. I loved it. Every moment of it, I loved it. Just to see these dogs just being so awesome. And then you learn about these dogs. They're just not shown. They're like service dogs too. So I have 40 acres at my house and I would love to get some treats or whatever. That's amazing. I love it.
All right.
Worst of the weekend.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
St. Louis Cardinals, 7 walks in 1 inning. That's the worst.
All right. Well, thank you, Susio.
Got some drainage problems out back. Like, got 4 acres, though.
We got to keep it moving a little bit here. I don't need to know you got 40 acres and you'd like to have some treats.
Doing some clearing this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know what. Dan in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. I've got a best and a worst, but I have a fun fact about the Milwaukee Bucks that nobody outside of Milwaukee talks about because they don't know about it. But the Milwaukee Bucks are the only NBA franchise who have won a title, but they have no idea where their championship trophy is. And the official statement from the Bucks is that over the years, we've simply misplaced it. Isn't that crazy? It's a true story.
Oh, that's awesome.
They have no idea where it is.
That's awesome.
How can that be?
All right. Thank you, Dan. We've misplaced our NBA championship. Paulie, reach out to the Bucks and see if that's true.
Why not?
It's probably in our man cave somewhere, the way trophies come here.
No, but if I had it, then I would display it. Yes, Paulie.
Speaking of the Westminster Dog Show, you know who was there with his dog who was an entrant?
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
His little dog, Rocky.
Yeah, but the dog failed its drug test, though. That's the only... No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. He had a beautiful dog. His name was Rocky. A beautiful dog. Yeah, I love watching. I like dogs that listen to their owners because that's foreign to the dog that I have. She doesn't listen to me. And when I watch the Westminster Dog Show, it's like, oh, so that's how dogs are supposed to behave. Not like my Winnie. Let me see. Ryan in Honolulu is back. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Dan.
What do you have for me, Ryan?
Well, you never reveal your sources, Dan, but today you did spill the tea. after the Mark Jackson lighthearted conversation, you really threw down the gauntlet to try and make me laugh today. Make you laugh today, didn't you? All right, so I've got some Suns versus Nuggets mock headlines
okay.
for you.
All right, here we go.
Devin replaces Fritzy as best booker in the biz.
Wow. Strong.
Dang.
Strong out of the gate.
That's good.
Walk off.
Now, no, Ryan, just like Todd, no walk off.
Get out.
Ryan?
The wind up and the Jokic. MVP literally goes out swinging.
Okay. I mean, that's okay. That would
I know. I mean, it's still better than Todd.
Yes, that's true. That's true. You got one more?
I do.
Okay.
Finally, a booker who knows how to sweep.
Wow.
Oh, man. Whoa,
that's the best one.
Thank you, Ryan. Yes.
A booker that knows how to sweep.
Those are two strong ones.
Todd does not know how to use a broom.
I do not.
Oh, that's a great appearance by Ryan. If he could only book guest, man, I'd have him in that chair.
He'd be a five-tool player.
Todd, what did you learn today?
TNT's Dennis Scott confirms that Shaq would hit the court in practice only in his basketball shoes, the birthday suit.
McLovin.
Yeah, Mark Jackson didn't want to go there for the number 3 point guard.
What did I learn, Todd?
The Joker was the first NBA MVP to get swept in the playoffs since Magic against the Bad Boy Pistons in 89.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support, crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Reggie Miller tomorrow, and one of my favorite writers, Wright Thompson. One more item we close up shop, Simply Safe Home Security. What's up, Holmes? You want to keep your family safe? The latest technology? Simply Safe is different than everybody else. First of all, you don't have any contract to sign. Now, if you have home security, you can ask, why am I signing a contract? Shouldn't we be in this together? It's every day that you're there for me, every hour you're there for me. So no contract to sign, no hidden fees. There's no pushy salespeople. And they've been a partner for about a decade now. And man, do they live up to their word. And I think the biggest difference is you got highly trained security experts always there for you. Alarm goes off, somebody calls you. Emergency happened, a person who cares is there for you. They get the first responders, police, fire. The bottom line is when you need them the most, Simply Safe is there 24/7. Learn more about how Simply Safe can protect you and your family. SimplySafeDan.com. 60-day risk-free trial. Also get a free security camera. Nothing to lose at SimplySafeDan.com.